Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Happy Monday, buddy. Hope you enjoyed your weekend off the show on Friday night. Going to go parts unknown and do whatever you like to do on Friday night. Karaoke? Is that you did this weekend?
Did I? No, I didn't really do any karaoke. I did go to a place to have a drink. And then I wasn't very, very long. But they did have someone actually do karaoke to Du Hast, which left me a little concerned. And then soccer tournament the rest of the weekend out in lovely Del Mar.
Ah, did you get thrown out?
No. Okay. Look, there was an opportunity, I think, today where I might have.
Okay.
No, all in all, they lose on penalty kicks, which is tough. But, you know, when you see an obvious foul in the box, but because there's fewer than 5 minutes remaining, the guy just kind of goes, eh? Like, really? She just got body slammed. Like, even their players started yelling at her for taking a dumb foul. But you didn't call it, and then you lose on PKs. What are you going to do? But all in all, fun weekend. The polo fields were not in great shape, but good time hanging out with all the new parents, right, because Madeline changed clubs. Other than that, working on fantasy football rankings and all that fun, and watching Succession. Have you seen that?
You know, I started watching it, and then after like four episodes, I realized this is a good show, but I can't stand every single person on the show.
No, and that's why I'm
not going to watch
it
anymore.
Other than Brian Cox, who's fantastic.
I can't stand him either.
You don't like him either?
I couldn't stand anybody.
He's great.
I hated everybody, and I can't watch a show where I'm watching it because I hate somebody less than I hate somebody else.
No, but that's just it. Every one of them is detestable.
I know, of course they are. Yes, I know they are. They're all horrible people. It's a TV show about horrendous people that just do horrible things to each other. And I can't understand why people watch that. I'm like, I'm done.
I
got to at least root for. If you had given me one character to root for, just give me one person, I could watch Succession. But I can't. I hate everybody. And so I'm like, oh, well, I hate this person. No, now I hate this person.
See,
I hate him. Oh, now I hate him more. Oh, I hate her. Oh, I hate her less. Oh, now I hate her more. No, I couldn't do it.
What I'm trying to do is, though, get back on off the crutches, right? Of all the shows that you know, all the characters that you love, and going back for a second look, third look. Hey, I haven't watched that in a while. I'll still sit and watch an episode of The Office, right? When wake up and there's Michael Scarn on the screen in Goldface. I mean, you have to watch it, but just trying to make sure you're exposing yourself to some new media. So
no,
I think
buddy,
tomorrow
hey.
We're going to go see Jungle Cruise. I don't know how new that is because it's derivative of a bunch of other things, but it's The Rock, and I'm wearing the Boots to Asses shirt here in the studio.
First of all, don't fret, Boba Fett. Ted Lasso is back, and I'm more than happy rewatching the first couple episodes of that season. Oh, are you kidding?
No, but that's awesome. Still new and fresh, right? It's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, I've watched this movie. You know, 15 times I've watched this series. Hey, look, it's Deathly Hallows is on again. Let's just sit and watch it. Like, no, move
well,
on.
It was Harry Potter's birthday on Saturday, buddy. It was the 31st. Harry Potter turned 41.
Bud, that's great.
It was 41.
But it's more just the psychological of trying to expose myself to new things so we can talk about new things on the show and give advice and create a podcast about, you know, all of the fun pop culture bits that we love and hate.
Follow you down is my favorite song, but Jim Bob, the best song is. So I'll tell you this about Jungle Cruise.
Okay, so you've
Jungle
seen it
Cruise
already.
Is a lot of fun. The first half of the movie is really fun. Like the chemistry that Dwayne Johnson has with Emily Blunt is really good, and the person playing her brother is good. Like it's fun all the way from beginning to end. It gets a little long. Towards the end, you're like, okay, a little long here, but it's fun. It's like if Raiders of the Lost Ark was 30% funnier.
Okay.
Right? Raiders of the Lost Ark was probably 20% fun, 80% adventure.
So kind of where they got to with Sean Connery and company in the third one, right? Where there's more snarkiness and some gags and bits.
No, but it's just fun. It's just more of a 50% comedic, 50% action tone, right? But that's kind of what if Raiders of the Lost Ark had a little bit more comedy in it, that's what it would be. Like it was Jesse Plemons is terrific in it. Like they're all good. It's really fun to watch. It just gets a tiny bit long. That's all I'm gonna say. Just gets a tiny bit long.
And then later this week we've got Suicide Squad. Shark is voiced by Sylvester Stallone. I'm in.
This is, you know, they got to start titling these movies different. It can't be Suicide Squad. Wasn't the last one Suicide Squad? Yes, but this is Suicide Squad. But I thought the last was no, that was just Suicide Squad.
I thought you were all right, Spider.
What's this one? I mean, it's like the Fast and the Furious movies. This is Furious 6. This is Fast 7. This is not quite as Fast 4. This
F9.
The only one I know is Tokyo Drift because it's such different than everything else. It's okay. Tokyo Drift. It's not Fast 2. It's not Furious 4. It's not Somewhat Furious. It's tepidly fast. That's the only one. Like, okay, yeah, Tokyo Drift was 3.
Can I just tell you this? Outside of the tour at Universal Studios Hollywood and watching those films with no sound on in the studio, I've never seen an actual scene with any audio from any of those movies.
Okay. All right.
Somehow I have avoided the entirety of 20 years of those films.
They're movies where the first one is so incredibly good, right? I mean, it really takes you by surprise. Then the next two are god-awful. They're just terrible.
Straight cash, homie.
How are they continuing to make this?
Because they made money.
Like, Vin Diesel's gone. He's not in the second one. He's only in the third one a little bit. You're like, but now everybody comes back for the fourth movie? I mean, really, the last two were awful. And you had Lucas Black starring in the third one. But then the fourth one comes, and then it's a huge hit. 4 is great. 5 is great. 6 is great. 7, all of them from 4 on are all so much fun. The stunts are so over the top. They're insane. I'm really excited to see 9 because they're bringing back a character who died in the third one and really died in front of your eyes, but somehow that person's alive. So I'm kind of waiting.
Didn't that already get released though? Available on demand? Okay.
Yeah, but I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting to see it.
Yeah, it got 59% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. That's
but
not,
good
that's
for
not
them
great.
Though. I mean, they may again budget of $200 million or thereabouts. You know, you always put a little bit of fat over what they tell you, but box office of at least $600 million. Plus some more international monies. So, yeah, it'll just keep going. So, you know, good on them. Hey, you know, if you can keep printing cash, why go away from the formula?
Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound really concerning, but really isn't.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you it's really concerning, but it isn't.
Sure, tell me a story.
The Lakers right now have 8 players under contract for this season, right? Today, they re-signed. They're bringing back Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, and Kent Bazemore. All guys that have played for the Lakers.
Brian Shaw's going to make a return. Derek Fisher's going to spot up from the corner. Yeah, it's going to be great.
AC Green is going to play.
They were like,
Pelinka and Frank Vogel today were like Clooney and Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11. Do we need one more? Do we need one
you
more?
Think hey, get one
we're,
more?
We're pulling a big job. I need one more person to go. Okay, fine, I'll do it. Right? They have 8 players under contract for this year. 7 of them are at least 32 years old. All right, now that sounds really concerning. You got
that's a
8
recipe
players
for
under
disaster.
Contract. 7 of them are at least 32, right?
But Bazemore you're getting the band back together for one more
you are.
Run.
You are right. But you got Bazemore and Westbrook at 32. Ellington's 33. Howard's 35. Ariza and Gasol and LeBron are all 36. AD is the baby at 28, but his body is like probably 36. This sounds really concerning, but it isn't. Because it's not like when you brought in Russell Westbrook, you are bringing in a re-signing Chris Paul where you're worried about him having to play less minutes. You brought in a guy that's going to take a lion's share of minutes away. So it's okay because these guys are going to come into play. You can see they have been effective playing a handful of minutes per game. They're okay with not saying, hey, I need this number of minutes per game. It's okay. Yes, the guys are older, and I understand that, and the Lakers are still trying to figure out the rest of their roster, but bringing in Russell Westbrook, you brought in a guy. He's a tank all by himself. He's going to play 38 minutes a night. You don't have to worry about him. So what are we going to do? No, your minutes are good. It's why you can let Alex Caruso go to the Bulls for $37 million because you brought in a guy that's going to play a ton. They didn't bring in a guy. Look, all these other players, look, Howard's going to be good for a certain number of minutes a game. So is Ariza. So is Bazemore. Look, that's kind of what it is. Look, we're talking about 15 to 18 minutes a night or 12 to 15 minutes depending on the night. But the move for Westbrook was so huge. And it's, look, people are breaking in to two different camps. People who love the Westbrook move are people who like Russell Westbrook as a player. People who hate it hate Russell Westbrook as a player. Because you can't deny everything the guy has done throughout his career and what he's done. No, I still don't like it. There's no fit for Russell. If you don't like Russell Westbrook, there's no fit for him in the NBA any place for him, right? No, there's no team he could assign with he would make better. There's nowhere he could go where it would make sense. No, I just don't like Russell Westbrook. And you know what? Westbrook here is going to work. He'll be beholden to LeBron because all players who play with LeBron are beholden to him and beholden to the team. And he's someone that they need him to be dynamic and to take the onus off of LeBron and AD every night so these guys can get into the playoffs and be somewhat healthy. Right? Now, look, they're bringing in veterans right now because guess what? This is a veteran team. This is a team that needs to win now and is not a team that can say, all right, well, hey, if we bring, you know, player XY along, hey, we bring Talen Hutton Tucker along, and guess what? In 2 or 3 years, he could be a really good player. 2 or 3 years, LeBron is walking away going, I'm done. Guys, good luck. You're not going to suddenly be ushering in the Talen Horton Tucker era. You need the vets who are ready to go win now. And I would say it's a concern if you didn't bring in that third superstar, but you brought in Westbrook, who's going to play the lion's share of the minutes. He'll lead the league in assists. He'll do all the things he does well, and the Lakers will be fantastic. They need a veteran team, guys that have played together, to make that learning curve a little bit less steep when you're remaking a team on the fly. Look, we told you before the pre-agency started, it's going to be an entirely new Lakers team. And this is an entirely new Lakers team. They're built to win now. You need the veterans. This is how it's going to be. This will be fine. It looks like it's a big concern. It really isn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's the triple underscore. Look, if one guy gets hurt, it's all going to hell anyway, right? If LeBron or Anthony Davis, you're having a big shift. And in theory, for a spell, regular season-wise, Russell Westbrook is able to carry the load. Right, we stipulate to that, but your final point is the key to it all. It's a short term game that you're playing here, right? Anthony Davis, you're hoping he's your long term answer post LeBron. Russell Westbrook, you're hoping there's still a number of years left in his tank, but beyond that, LeBron's going to be gone. So you push all the chips in to build the roster that you can roll through for this season. And then you worry about the following season. See if there are any more injuries that you have to navigate from, dare I say it, the big three. Right? You know, all of those things. I saw someone laughing saying, so because they're paying him $5 million, are they going to fill a roster spot with Luol Deng? How about that? That was cold.
They're still paying him.
I know.
They're still paying him. Bring him back, right?
Yeah, it's got $5 million on the books. So, yeah. You know, folks saying, you can fill a roster spot with him since you're paying him anyway.
It's like when you wait for that Keith Van Horn story that comes up every couple of years. You know, you could trade Keith Van Horn.
Yes. I still need to get the master list of all guys that are still getting some sort of Bobby Bonilla kind of thing that's hanging out there. But to your point, it's just the, all right, what are you building for? For some of these teams, it's a long-term build. Right, we know we're not winning this year. We're not going to match up with these two teams here, these two teams there, and we're getting the young players in place and hoping that they gel right before they have to get paid. Right, we get that. With the Lakers, that's not the case. It's the how do we put a team together now that maximizes the window we have with LeBron James and players that he gives us the nod that he's cool with us bringing in. Because that's a subset of the available players, right? We don't know how small that ring is. The concentric circles, you know, you don't know how big that overlap is of guys that he's saying, all right, I like this guy's attitude, his game, bring him in. Because that's the other part. It's not just about money, right? You've got to have a fit. Because now you also have to figure out the psychology of all three of those stars. Like LeBron, obviously, is the first to get the nod. But then, all right, does... Go back through Westbrook's history. He got beef with anybody? Check them off the list. Because you don't need anything that's going to divide the locker room even, you know, in whispers in the newspapers. Because we know how much the megaphone happens here. in Los Angeles. But for tonight, look, you're trying to build from scratch. You're trying to build out your roster, and it's day one. There's still so much to be done.
It's absolutely fun. You need the vets. That's how you're building. You're built to win now. And it's not like Russell Westbrook's Chris Paul. Okay, so it's everything's going to be just.
How bad is that, though? He just got paid again. He's up to $450 million.
Buddy, that's what I'm getting. That's called a tease. I'm rolling right into that.
$450 million.
I'm right into that, but I'm rolling right in there.
Rolling.
Twitter at How About a Fresco.
I didn't blow anything.
Mike, it's swollen.
I
no,
teased
you completely
it.
Blew that.
I am the captain now.
No, you completely blew that.
No.
That was on the inbounds pass. It was going to somebody. You jumped in front to try
and
to
I
grab
dunked.
It, and you deflected it out of bounds. No, that's what you did. That's you. You were Nick Young trying to grab the ball going to somebody else. You could take a three.
Wow. Really? Swag.
The Nick Young of this show is Mike Harmon. Coming up next, Chris Paul got paid. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad it wasn't my team that paid him. That's next right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yes.
Some reason T-shirts back in the 80s tonight.
Well, we're going to make it happen because we were just talking about a lot of guys who made their NBA debuts in the 1980s.
That's just Carmelo Anthony. No, it just seems like he made his debut.
Not
in
quite,
the
80s. But yeah, because there's another Laker that hasn't been signed yet. He's coming soon.
We're waiting. Oh,
whoa.
Oh, man. Oh, T-shirt, we've missed you for the past week, buddy.
It's been too long,
dude. It's been a couple of weeks, yeah.
It has been a couple of weeks, actually, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. A week just is 2 weeks to you, huh?
Well, psychologically, he was trying to just say it was only a week, that you hadn't truly abandoned the show.
See, that makes sense.
It's just like being on vacation.
It just seemed like you were only gone a week. Is that a good thing or a bad thing when it seemed like you've only been gone a little bit, but you really were gone longer? Is that better?
I'd say probably worse.
Oh, it's worse.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that.
Because they say time, you know, grows the heart, Jason. And for you, it was just another way to get a McDouble.
We didn't. I haven't had a McDouble.
You know what? He ate a lot of White Castle while you were gone.
Did he?
Oh, well, he was in Detroit.
Are you kidding?
Oh,
I was
yeah.
in Detroit. Oh, man, I killed some White Castle.
Jason, I forgot to ask you. Why'd you get pulled over that time you tweeted out?
White Castle.
I'll tell you this, because we were just getting out of the airport. It was 11 o'clock at night. We had just landed in Detroit, and I was like, let's go to White Castle, and we were figuring out what the directions were, and my wife said, okay, we got to go right to go to White Castle. I'm like, okay, get out with the rental car. I make a right-hand turn. Right out of the rental car, the cop pulls me over. I'm like, what is going
really?
On? And the cop comes over and says, sir, you don't have your lights. And I go, oh, I'm sorry, because you know, I don't think that, because you know, my car's for, all of our cars for years have been, you turn on the car at night, the lights go on. You know, you have the day lamps, right? It works. And I said, I'm so sorry. I said, we were really trying to find the directions. We're trying to get to White Castle before it closes. And he goes, really? And I said, yeah. He goes, just turn your lights on. I said, all right, thank you. Thank you, sir. So I told him we're trying to get to White Castle. But I forgot that, you know, sometimes when you rent a car, that they don't, you got to turn the lights on. I was like, okay, so I had to turn the lights on.
Okay. Because I remember that's you told us, I don't know if it was last year, but you found like half a joint in a rental car. Remember that?
Oh, that was a few years ago. Yeah, that was, my wife was not happy about that.
I thought it was a whole pound this time. You're going down.
Wow. He was big old Nate Newton. He'd actually rented a minivan.
Yeah, no, there was one this is back when cars had ashtrays in them. So this is about 10 or 12 years ago. We rented a car and in the ashtray there was a joint, and my wife was like, dude, what happened? And the guy said, oh, if the cop had pulled you over, you would have been fine. I said, how would we have been fine? You would have said it was in there. It wasn't yours. I go, really? You think the cop's going to say, oh, it wasn't yours? That's fine.
What? Listen, like, California boy.
I'm like, are you kidding me? But the fact the guy said, oh, you would have been fine. You would have told him it was a rental car and it was in there before. They would have been fine. I'm like, what do you mean it would have been fine? I could have used that excuse. It would have been okay. And my wife was so mad. She was so mad. No, this time it was my fault. I said, let's go here. We're going to White Castle. And I forgot to turn the lights on.
Okay, that makes sense.
It happens that way. It happens.
But White Castle was involved, so it was key.
Yes.
That is key to the story.
Yes, it was. I was trying to get to White Castle. That's what I was trying to do. So according to New York Times' Mark Stein, it is now a battle between two teams to sign Carmelo Anthony, the Knicks and the Lakers.
Wait, the Knicks are really in? I didn't see that. Well, yeah. All right then.
The Knicks and the Lakers.
I just presumed it was Lakers because everybody was photoshopping him into all these different jerseys and making him a Space Jam 2 character to try to get some resurgence in the box office, all that stuff.
Now, he fits in. The age works.
Absolutely.
Him being, 36. The other guys are all 36 years old. The ages work. I feel like, when we were picking an all-star team, our all-star team for softball, it's like, just think about how age-appropriate. We're like, well, if we take, we had a lot of 12-year-olds on the team. If we take a 10-year-old, it's got to be somebody who's really, really good because, they're not going to have a lot of friends. The 12-year-olds all kind of hang out together. What kind of all-star experience is it going to be for a 10-year-old? So, they got to be really good to play a lot of innings to play on the team. Think of that with the Lakers. Well, he's in his mid-30s, so he's going to be fine. He'll fit in with all the guys, right? They're all going to be in the same millennial type thing, all going to be interested in the same things. Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah, no, it's fine. If he was younger, if he was 25, I would say, I don't know, because, LeBron's 36, and so is Trevor Ariza, so is Marc Gasol. They're all 36, but he fits right in there. So here's Melo deciding between the Lakers and the Knicks. First of all, I want to ask this. Are the fans of the Lakers and the Knicks hoping he goes to their team or that he goes to another team? Like, if you're a Knicks fan, are you hoping he signs with the Lakers? And if you're a Lakers fan, are you hoping he signs with the Knicks?
You're hoping for the opposite.
Do you want him to sign with your team or do you want him to pick the other team?
No. Well, you know what? There is the you want to have a fall guy. So if your team does end up struggling, then you can say, you know what? They brought in Melo. And it was just a bad move. And if you're a Knicks fan, do you want to go through that again? And I never blame the player. If they offer you a giant pile of cash, that's not your fault. If they draft you first, that's not your fault. But you do have to have, some responsibility for the way things finish out. And he was a great scorer. They just didn't win. But you could still point right back to the front office and say, you screwed up. Part of it being the contract that they gave to him. But when it's all said and done, for your Knicks, I don't think you want to do that again. I don't think that's... I just don't think you want to revisit with Tom Thibodeau there.
No. And the lack of defense. No. The guy's played defense one playoff one time in his life. No, as a Knicks...
He's going to come in, he's going to make him run sprints all the time. It's like, no, we need to get you back to 25-year-old Melo body. Let's go.
No. Look, if the Knicks... I'll tell you this. If they signed Melo, I wouldn't be as upset as I would have been a couple of years ago because he can still play in certain – he's shown that, hey, the end of my career, I'm okay with a smaller role. I don't necessarily have to start. I'm okay doing this, and I can still give you 15 or 17 points. So I'm a little bit more okay with that, but with the moves the Knicks made today, they brought the guys back they wanted to bring back. They brought Derrick Rose back. He's going to play less minutes. They signed Evan Fournier for $72 million. He's exactly what they need, a younger player that can hit shots from the outside. I feel like, okay, no, the Knicks got what they need. I wouldn't be that upset if the Knicks brought him back, so I guess there's that. But if he went to the Lakers, yeah, I wouldn't be upset either. So I kind of feel like if I'm, as a Knicks fan, I'm like, I feel good that I wouldn't be as upset as if it was 2 years ago. But at the same time, if you want the Lakers, I'm not heartbroken.
Yeah, I'm really just going to call what it is here, Smith.
I'm just mad.
I want him here. Why? Because the Lakers play in our window every damn night, right? So we will get to, and it won't be Caruso trending. It'll be Melo.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Instead of Caruso, it would be Melo. You're probably right about that. Or, Ellington might trend. Dwight Howard might trend just because people want to write about the most random Lakers possible.
The secondary Laker guys get a lot of run on Twitter.
They do.
There's no question about it. So if you could buy futures for Twitter mentions and aggregate response over the good, bad, and ugly put forth by a Laker reserve, you could get rich this coming season, let me tell you.
All right.
I don't know how to monetize that, but I'd love to.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying about that because part of me would love to see what it's going to look like when there's 18 seconds left on the shot clock and they pass to Melo and Melo just holds the ball on his elbow and watches the shot clock tick all the way down before he takes a really bad jumper. And you got LeBron waiting for the ball and AD waiting for the ball. And even Westbrook is going, dude, give it right back to me. Give it right back. No, I'm going to wait. Don't look at me. I'm focused on the basket. I'm going to take this jumper. Just let it tick all the way down. down. Now I take it. I'll everybody stand up at their feet, Staples Center, so they can stand up out and start clapping. All right, Mello. All right, Mello. Yeah, no, that I really do want to see. So I'm with you on that part of it. But just, I think from a fan's perspective, I think Knicks fans are kind of meh. And I think for Lakers fans, they're like, yes. Yes, we got to get Melo. Oh, it'd be great. Are you kidding? This is like the LeBron's traveling all-stars. How awesome is this? Everybody's old. Everybody are trying to gain it back in. You know, everybody is taking all kinds of, they need ice packs on the court at all times. And oh, all the different things people are doing to stay in the lineup. The Lakers fans need Melo more than the Knicks need Melo. I mean, think about that. The Lakers needing Melo more than the Knicks do. That's something.
I would add an Anthony signed Lakers jersey to my collection. I'd put that on a wall proudly.
Wow. Buddy, I could get you a Carmelo Anthony signed Syracuse jersey like right now.
I would appreciate that. That's great.
All right. You put a Syracuse thing up, really? You'd put Syracuse up, though? You put it up, really?
Well, I mean, there's many walls in the house.
Really? Okay.
It might be inspirational in certain rooms.
Okay. It's inspirational.
Leave it to your imagination.
It's the one room that's not purple. Thank goodness. All right, we'll have the room with orange in it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opting out of his $44 million option, Chris Paul is going to make, well, a lot more money. He's going to return to the Western Conference champs on a new four-year deal. Could be worth as much as $120 million.
Woo!
He's expected to be ready for the start of training camp. He had surgery on his left wrist. He was seen wearing tape on his left wrist in the NBA Finals. And so now this is over. Chris Paul is returning to the Suns, and I feel for the Suns because this is not the contract they wanted to give out to a guy who's going to be 37 years old and finally got out of the second round of the playoffs. So now you got to pay me a lot of bleeping money. I'm glad it's not the Knicks paying him. If I'm in the NBA, I'm glad it's not my team because Chris Paul, clearly this year, he just finally had his magical season, the one that broke through. Everybody got hurt. All the teams the Suns played, all the best players were out. The Suns had a magic carpet ride all the way to the NBA Finals. And when they needed Chris Paul the most, he hit the wall because he played too much basketball because the guy's 36, going to be 37 years old, and he couldn't affect the game like he had earlier in the playoffs. All right, Chris Paul is a really good player, and I'll tell you, I thought he was done 2 years ago, but he has shown that I still have a lot to give, and that's great. But you're talking about 4 years for a guy who has been dogged by injuries his entire career, for a guy that's come up short in the playoffs so many times, blowing a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals. You were stuck because you had to pay him, because you got there because of him. Well, you're really going to turn your back on him and go sign somebody else? Could you fill that void? You were stuck. So you gave him a $120 million contract for 4 years, and watch this contract. This is going to be an albatross because Chris Paul will turn back into the guy he was, right? It's not like Chris Paul suddenly this year was 28 points, 17 assists, and 10. No, he was a 17-7 guy. His leadership was great, right? What he brought to the Suns, being able to help them figure things out and steady the and have us be a steadying influence, make big plays they needed him to, that was great. But this is the Suns now bringing back a guy who's going to give you a little bit more diminished returns than even last year. You're not adding anybody great. So if you're not getting better, how are you going to get better and advance further and take that next step to win a championship? The answer is you're not. The other teams around you are getting better, right? The Lakers got better. You're seeing teams making signings. They are getting better. And to sign Chris Paul, I get it. You kind of had to. And that's where I go, I'm glad it's not me. The Suns had to do it. I feel for them because this contract is going to come back around. It's like that kryptonite metal hanging around Superman's neck where it's going to be, I'm losing all my power. Because you know what's going to happen. He's going to be hurt. He's going to be in and out of the lineup. He needs less minutes as he gets older, not more. So you're paying a guy a lot of money where he's going to have to play less minutes as time goes on. But I'm Chris Paul. You have to respect me and you got to pay me money. Yes, we got to pay you money. No, you don't have to. Again, that's why I'm glad we didn't fall into that trap. Because all that's going to happen, you're going to see his play decrease over the next 4 years, and you're going to be paying him like he's a 27-year-old point guard you got in free agency, and you're saying you're going to be our linchpin for the next 4 years. Just watch what happens. This is going to be a horrendous deal. By the midway point of next season, the Suns are going to go, oh, this is a bad deal for us. Bad deal.
What if it's as good as it gets? Right? You saw the rose petals being thrown at his feet for getting out of the second round. All of a sudden, he became point god. And all of those accolades and all of the, hey, now he's in a top three. Is he top five? But he's past this guy, and the other. It's like, okay, he hadn't won anything yet. And now you're paying off of that and expecting the performance to end, you know, with the title, right? That he's going to be able to maintain. And yes, he's a coach, so I guess you can write off part of it as an addition to your coaching staff by keeping him around. But, and look, it's not my money, but if it precludes you from being active in the marketplace somewhere else saying, all right, we need to fortify XYZ as opposed to just saying, all right, our younger guys are going to get better. Because maybe that's the attitude. Our younger guys are going to get better. We keep him around and we have a solid backcourt that we push forward with, right? Ayton keeps getting better. More from Cam Johnson, all of those things. I get it to a point. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago that this was an inevitability, just a matter of what the dollars and cents were and how many years that they were going to be feel almost like they had to bring him back, whether it was a good basketball move or not, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at now is you're assuming that the level of play and that his health, he just had surgery on a wrist. He's missed the end of a bunch of seasons or played poorly to end a number of seasons. The stats don't lie, and neither does Father Time. So even though he was on the proverbial medal stand for MVP consideration, I certainly made a case for it, even with Devin Booker averaging 25 points per game. It's one of those baseball contracts that we always talk about. It's like, yeah, the back end of this is not going to be good. That's just it. This is not going to be good, unless the Knicks decide that they want him for 1 year before he retires. Mm. See how I got your Knicks involved?
Thanks, buddy. That's all right, buddy. We got Evan Fournier. We're fine. Dude, we're fine.
That's solving everything, huh?
We're going to the Eastern Conference Finals next year. It's going to be a glorious
year. All right,
I'm
going to find what the current odds are.
Glorious. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome again. Be glad it's not your team that paid Chris Paul. Now, speaking of Chris Paul, he was the big story of the playoffs this year. And hey, I get what everybody wanted to lay the accolades on him. Who's going to be the Chris Paul of next year? Because that guy signed a pretty big deal earlier today. Maybe he's not going to be Chris Paul, but he'll be Chris Paul light at least next year. Who's going to be that guy? We'll tell you coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon.
Yes!
I feel like Tyshirt is just telling people he knows, hey, listen to the show at this time. I'm going to play this song. What song am I going to play for you? I'm just going
to
play it.
Is he taking tips to play these?
Oh, you can't do that. That's like illegal in the radio industry. You can't do that.
Well, no. It's not payola. It's just, you know, friends. I'm saying, here's a song I'd like to hear.
It's Plugola. Plugola?
Plugola. Yeah, Plugola.
Payola. Plugola.
Plugola.
Isn't that who owns the Bills, right? Payola Plugola.
They got a whole other thing. They want to move to Austin. You think Jerry Jones is letting that happen? That was the greatest non-starter ever of a story. We're going to go there.
If they want to pay me $5 billion, I'll let them share the stadium with me. But, you know, short of that. And they give us the Allen kid. I'll take him, too. But at Beasley, we had him before. So if we can combine the teams, and then I would just make the Bills disappear. So that's what will happen. We'll just get all the best players and combine the teams. It'll be the Cowboy Bills, and that's how we're going to play.
Should I start buying some tables futures in the greater Dallas area? Is that how this works?
You can go play in San Antonio. How about that? You guys going to go play in San Antonio. If the story of this NBA season was Chris Paul, right, and the resurgence of him and what he did in the playoffs and how everybody was so ready to talk about how great a player he is and let's make him the greatest point guard, top five point guard of all time because he got out of the second round. Who's going to be the Chris Paul of next season? Who's going to be the guy who gets a lot of credit for a great career later on because of his influence on another team?
Ooh, is it like the Oscars? Is this what we're doing now?
Yeah,
I love it.
I'll tell you what.
It's that career Oscars. Oh, they haven't given him one yet. He's got to get one now.
I'm telling you, Will Smith is going to win for King Richard.
See what I did? I lobbed that up and you dunked.
Write it down. He's winning for King Richard. I just saw the trailer. I know Will Smith is going to win. The Chris Paul of next season is going to be Kyle Lowry. All right, after all his years in Toronto, wins the NBA title. But still, all right, Kyle Lowry's kind of been off the NBA radar. He goes to Miami, who spent so much money today.
How about that?
Bringing in Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson. They're going to re-sign Jimmy Butler, who I thought, okay, they're going to say goodbye to Jimmy Butler because, you know, he fights with them all the time. That didn't happen, but wow. Kyle Lowry will be the Chris Paul of next season because he's exactly what Miami needed. They needed good and consistent production at the point guard slot, right? That's exactly what they needed. You know, when they went to the finals, hey, they caught lightning in a bottle with Goran Dragic, but then clearly he wasn't the same guy. Tyler Hero was such an up and down player. You need someone who is still an elite player in Kyle Lowry and is going to give you great production across the board. And this is going to raise the Miami Heat back to the top of the Eastern Conference. The East is going to be tough next year. The best three teams are the top four you're talking about. The defending champion Bucks, the Nets with their three stars, the Knicks, and the Heat. Those are your top four teams in the East next year. They are all going to be loaded to different specifications. The Knicks are loaded how the Knicks like to load, built on defense. Now they signed 48 today. The Heat, exactly what they need. They're going to bring back Butler. They got a lot of offense. Now Lowry's going to fit right in. The Nets are still waiting for their three stars to really play together. The Bucks are the champs. There's your top four teams in the East next year. The Heat are going to be back up there, and Kyle Lowry is going to get more and more credit as the season and the postseason goes on. The Chris Paul of next season will be Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, I remember when they won the title, he got a little bit of love, but it was more about, all right, the, you know, merchant, the assassin comes in Kawhi Leonard that just is hired for the job. The mercenary gets it done. But you look at last year, limited to 46 games, 17 and 7 assists. So solid numbers still there, 5 rebounds plus a game. And you add him and you pay Duncan Robinson. Think about that. Undrafted player, 5 years, $90 million.
Most money an undrafted player has ever gotten in NBA history.
Yeah, evidently there's an option to terminate that final year, but that's all fine and good. That's down the road, right? It's the offset language we talk about with the NFL to some degree. But just an impressive day, right? In the P.J. Tucker edition, you saw how valuable he was. Didn't always show up in the box score, but logging heavy minutes, defense, toughness, leadership, all of those things for the Milwaukee squad. So now you rebuilt, and he's a guy that's perfect for the Pat Riley image down there. So he fits it well. I'm excited to see a retooling of that team. And as you said, the Jimmy Butler extension, a little bit surprising. But again, if you're able to say, hey, Jimmy, you stick here and look what we can do for you. We can get right back to where we were. Off season, Hero's another year removed, maybe a bit humbled by the year that he had, and you bring in reinforcements like this. Now, it's a recipe to go and vanquish your Knicks is really what this is all about.
Well, there's the top four teams. Well, I'll see you in the second round of the NBA playoffs. That's what I'll say to any team. I'll see you in the second round of the playoffs. That's how it is.
Well, as you're being reminded by everybody that the Yankees have a better record than your Mets and you're still
I'm sorry. I can't hear you from first place. I'm sorry. I can't hear you from first place with that Yankee-Mets thing. I'm in first place. I'm all the way up here in first place. I can't hear that. Coming up next, we get back into the biggest story of the night in NBA free agency. This is Fox.